I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-800-585-9396. That's 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, welcome again to EWTN's Open Line Thursday. We're delighted to be with you today. The normal guy sitting in this chair is our buddy Jack Williams. He is in Quebec City today. He's up in Canada all this week for a Catholic media conference, and no better person to be there to represent EWTN than Jack Williams. But our usual Friday host, Thursday host, is here, and that's Father Larry Richards. How are you, Padre?
I am blessed. How are you guys down there?
Well, you know what? We got a little bit of a storm going on. There's apparently a tornado warning in our county, and there have been some videos of overturned trucks and things like that.
Oh,
but
dear.
The show must go on, right?
The show must go on, and we pray for your safety there.
Well, and we appreciate that. Here's our phone number, 1-800-585-9396. If you have a question for Father Larry Richards, 1-800-585-9396. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for the response and then text us your first name and your question. Message and data rates may apply. Again, the phone number 1-800-585-9396. While we're waiting for those calls to come in, Father, I thought maybe we might chat a little bit about two people that I know you have great admiration for, Father Thomas, Bishop John Fisher and St. Thomas More.
Absolutely. We just celebrated a great Mass. We just finished our Emmaus, where all the priests come together in our diocese the last 4 days. And so we just had a great Mass with our bishop and that today, talking about these people who stood up and defended their faith in spite of what everybody was saying was wrong. And, you know, everybody looking at them like they were nuts. And why don't they just go along with everything else? And here's two people stood up to power, lost their life over it, but stood up for Christ and stood up for the teaching of the church. And boy, nowadays is exactly what we need, their intercession, that we are people who do the same thing, stand up for what Christ teaches us to and be willing to lay down everything for love of him and for love of the church.
Absolutely. I know that at the beginning of my own conversion, I was blessed to see that great movie, A Man for All Seasons. You've seen that.
Holy cow.
It made a huge difference in my own life, and it's something I try to watch every year.
Absolutely. I haven't seen that in years, but oh my gosh, I remember it quite clearly. Absolutely.
It is so good. Calls are coming in right now. If you'd like to join in, if you have a question about the new evangelization, Father Larry Richards is waiting for you. 1-800-585-9396. Before we go to the phones, Father, I thought I might get this email real quick here. This is from Diana in Ohio, who says, please talk about the Catholic view on suffering and how we can unite it with Christ's.
Well, again, it's the call of all people in Christ Jesus to pick up our cross every day and to follow in his footsteps. And when we pick up our cross, that means the sufferings. Now, again, it's important that we sit there and distinguish. You know, it's like God doesn't come and give us cancer so we can suffer more.
Right.
You know, the suffering is a suffering of love. You know, so when I deny myself and I put other people in front of me. Now, sometimes our cross is sickness and different things. And then what we do is we remember Paul would say, I fill up in my own life what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Not that Christ's suffering was lacking in what he did on the cross, but since I am part of the body of Jesus Christ, when you and I suffer and we unite that with Christ on the cross, then we become co-redemptive with him. And so I often say, never waste any suffering. Always sit there and offer it up for somebody in reparation for your sins, but I always say, don't waste it on yourself. I want you to could take your suffering and offer it for somebody else, that they would come to conversion, that they would sit there and come to Christ, at whatever, for your family and different things. And it's unbelievable when you offer up your sufferings for others, what can happen to, in their lives.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-585-9396. It is Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. Father Larry Richards is with us talking about the new evangelization and all the many things that that can touch upon. Let's get to the phones, though, and talk with Dan in St. Louis, listening to EWTN on Covenant Radio. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I got a question for Father Larry. How are you doing?
I am blessed, Dan. How are you out in St. Louis? Good job,
my friend.
What is up out there?
What is up? I got a good friend. His children are grown, and he and his wife now are practicing contraception.
Mm.
He knows it's wrong, and he wants to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, but he also knows more than likely the following weekend he's going to commit the same sin, and he's in this vortex that he doesn't know where to go or what to do. I don't know what to tell him.
My biggest thing is that the first thing we want is to seek God's will with everything. You know, too many people just fall into this because, well, it's the rule of the church. Well, that is not a good reason to do things just because it's a rule of the church. We do things because it's the will of God. And it's the will of God is given to us through the rule of the church. And so it's more of a God issue. And so my biggest thing, so, is where are you with God? You need to ask God what he wants of you. And if you're going to say every day when you say the Lord's Prayer, it goes beyond confession, but when you say the Lord's Prayer, you say, thy will be done. So if this is God's will for you, then why are you not doing it? And so that's where I'd come down to, you know, where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with your prayer life and different things? And make it that, because if that's the only thing, okay, well, you're doing that, and that's what you focus on, then it becomes this big issue that I have to deal with, and I don't want to deal with it, and so the church is no good, so I leave the church. We come back to, you want to always do the will of God in your life. And if this is God's will, then why aren't you doing it? And that's where you come down to, is where I would do it with and what I have done in the past. Does that help?
Yeah, does that help for you, Dan?
Very much. Thanks, Father Larry.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for calling. God bless you.
Appreciate your call. That opens up a line for you at 1-800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. Father Larry Richards is here on Open Line Thursday talking about the new evangelization. If you've got a question for the good Padre, 1-800-585-9396. It's Open Line Thursday on EWTN.
Colleen Kelly Mast.
I cannot even count the number of times that God has clearly shown me his power and love when I continue to say yes to him. He provides for our needs. Even standing at the funeral home during the wake of my late son, the Holy Spirit kept singing in my head, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I didn't feel very strong at the time, but I knew that God was holding me close.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Being part of EWTN Media Missionaries is a perfect way to help us fulfill our calling from Christ to make disciples of all nations. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Someone recently asked me, how do you explain that Jesus did so much for people 2,000 years ago, but doesn't now? So I asked, are you letting him make a difference in you now? God has revealed all we need for happiness and peace, but we have to let his word impact the way we think if it's going to make a difference in our lives. St. Paul tells us, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Jesus told his apostles, who he knew would face tremendous trials, do not let your hearts be troubled. He wasn't inviting them to receive peace. He was commanding them to claim it. Want God's word to make a difference in you? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It starts by not letting your hearts be troubled or given to fear, anxiety, negativity, and constant complaining. Fill your heart with gratitude, truth, beauty, goodness, and the things of God. Then, regardless of your circumstances, you'll see Jesus making all the difference in you. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
This is Bishop John Brungardt of the Diocese of Dodge City.
This is Colin Donovan, Vice President for Theology.
This is Father Larry Richards, host of Open Line Thursday. Thanks for listening to EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Phones are ringing, 1-800-585-9396. If you have a question for Father Larry Richards, 1-800-585-9396. Father, we got an email from Nancy who says, a friend said to me that since Christ did not write it, but others wrote what he said, that it most likely is not accurate. Well, anyway, that's their opinion. This is her argument that the Bible is not really from God. How can I explain this concept to her? Her past family members were involved in sort of rewriting the Bible. They were not Catholic. Anything you can provide?
Well, again, that's one of the biggest reasons why we don't let the interpretation only be done by, certain people. I mean, people that just say, hey, this is what I believe it is. You know, yeah. Because, again, when Jesus spoke his words, mm-hmm. he spoke his words probably in Hebrew, but most likely Aramaic. And so there he is speaking. Well, again, they never write any of those things down at the beginning. It was just because they all thought Jesus was coming back, you know, like tomorrow. So yeah. It's going to become. Then things went, okay, well, we better start writing these things down. And when they wrote those things down, they wrote them in Greek. Most of the New Testament is written in Greek, you know. And so then it got translated later to Latin. So it is a translation of a translation of a translation. What keeps us pure in all of this is the belief that it's the Holy Spirit who has worked through the church to give us the truth of the Gospels, the truth of the Scriptures. But it was the church that decided, again, at about 390 AD, it's beyond that, of course, uh-huh. It's a bigger thing, but at the Council of Rome, the church took all these books, and there was, you know, people say they find it all the time, oh, we found the Gospel of Mary, or the Gospel of Thomas, or the infancy narratives of Thomas, or the Gospel of Peter, and there was all these things, and there's still the apocryphal Gospels, they're all over the place. But the church came together and says, all these books, only 27 of them of the New Testament, mm-hmm. these and only these are inspired by God. And so it was the church from the very beginning, because it was the church who wrote the Word of God, and it's a church who proclaims the Word of God, and it's a church who interprets the Word of God. So it's always in the context. And the biggest thing about this is it must be read with faith, because if you approach the Word of God without faith, it becomes a textbook where you're just sitting there and you're looking at different things, and you're going to find all kinds of inconsistencies and everything else. But when you come at it with faith and knowing that this is revelation, this is what God has revealed to us, and the opening line of the Catechism written by John Paul II, the great, of course, was, yes, guarding the deposit of the faith is the mission entrusted by Christ to his church. So the number one mission of the church isn't go to make disciples and all this stuff. According to the Catechism, the opening line written by John Paul is, we must guard the deposit of the faith, because it's the deposit of the faith that tells us we must love one another. It's the deposit of faith that says there is one God and three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's the deposit of faith. So that's the main job. And so when it comes to that, also the same thing when it comes to Scripture. The church's job is to guard the revelation of the Scripture so that it says this is what this means. So that someone down the road says, oh no, this is what I think it is. God has preserved it as he's preserved the church from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your email there. This is Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. Our phone number, 1-800-585-9396, if you have a question for Father Larry Richards. Let's get back to it and talk with Kristen in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, listening to EWTN Radio on Sirius XM 130. Hey, Kristen, what's your question today?
Hello, Kristen.
Hi, I was just asking if you could say a prayer today for my fiancé's family. His brother had passed away this morning from drug overdose, and my soon-to-be baby's father is also having a problem with drugs right now, and you just help me right now and say a prayer for me and their family. Just to
absolutely
stay strong in this time.
And the best thing to do for him is, do you know the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Kristen? Do you know the Divine Mercy Chaplet?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, I would encourage you to go and look that up, and because what you want to do is you want to start praying for him who died. And do that, and it's with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, there's the great promise that God will take care of a person when they've died. And so when you sit there and you pray that, you say, because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on, and then you put his name in there and on the whole world. And that'll give you some peace that you can do something, because that's one of the biggest things when someone ODs is that you feel so vulnerable, so helpless, that here's something you can do. You can pray for him. But we will pray for you and all the listeners now. We just ask God that he would reach out and bring healing to you and your family and bring you peace and to have mercy on the person who has died, and just be there now. And we do this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Kristen, thank you so much. You will certainly also be in our prayers. Let's go to Patrick now in Detroit, listening to us on Ave Maria Radio. Hey, Patrick, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Patrick.
Hey, good afternoon. What? How are you, Father Larry?
Blessed. What is up in Detroit?
Not too much. I just finished listening to your disc on prayer.
Okay.
And love it. And you were saying
you.
Something, maybe not necessarily on this disc, but on one of your earlier discs, when somebody asked you, how do you know Jesus, or no, how do you, or why are you Catholic? And
mm-hmm.
you said, because I know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since I heard that, it's like I'm looking for a way to, I guess, be convicted of my relationship with him.
Okay. Well, the biggest thing for anything, for any kind of relationship or to be in relationship, is the time spent. You know, again, I was up this morning at 5:30 and I was before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament for an hour. And I've done that every day for maybe not always 5:30 in the morning, but every day since I was 17 years old. And so I know Jesus because I spend time with Jesus every day. And it's just like anything else, you know. How do you know? Like, I know my mother because I spent time with her. And my very first experience of Jesus, when I came to know him so explicitly, is when I was 17 years old, and I was going because I wanted to know God. I wanted to know God. So I'd go in the Church of the Epiphany in downtown Pittsburgh, and I would just kneel there and say, Jesus, are you real? Aren't you real? Do you care or don't you care? And I did that for like 6 months every day during my lunch hour, and I would just sit there. And then one day, it's like he revealed himself to me, and I was just sitting there, and it's like, whoa. And I remember when I came to know him, that, okay, now here I am before him, and he reveals himself to me. Now, how do I say that he revealed himself to me? That I was sitting there silently, and all of a sudden I became aware of his presence. He didn't appear to me in a big sign and says, I am Jesus. I just knew Jesus was there. And I remember falling on my knees, and I said, Jesus, what do you want? I'll do anything you want. Just tell me what you want me to do. And when I was 17, he said, I want you to be a priest. And I'm okay. That's like nobody in my family. I had to tell my girlfriend that I was leaving being a priest. I had to tell my family. I took my girlfriend with me to tell my dad because I thought he'd kill me because he wasn't Catholic. And I thought, it's going to be a bad day. You know, and so, but the only thing that I can tell anybody is the only way to come to know Jesus is that you need to have committed daily time with him. And like anything, like any friend, any type of relationship, it all develops and you become real and you get to know the person. Like if a person's married, sometimes they don't have to even talk to each other. They can just look at each other and you know what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be the same with Jesus. And that's the only way you can be convicted. And that really takes quality time with him every day.
Patrick, thank you so much for your call. I know, Father Larry, you probably know Steve Wood, am I right?
I know who he is, sure.
Steve is a great guy, and I went to a men's conference of his years ago, and he said something to the effect of one of the great lies of the 70s, and there were certainly a lot of them, was the concept of quality time. Yeah, you mm-hmm. can spend some quality time with your kids, and that'll suffice. And he said, that's a load of bull. What you really
exactly.
need is quantity time.
Exactly.
You got to start stacking up the hours like you would cordwood.
Absolutely. And again, that's never, you know, that's never lost time. You know, all the way, you know, of course, all the saints talked about prayer, but mm-hmm. again, when St. John Vianney would talk about in his August 4th letter, and he, you know, for the, all the priests read, and he says, you know, prayer, that the meaning of life is we pray and we love, and that's what I preach on constantly. And he says, when you become a person of prayer, your time multiplies. You know, and I got all these things I'm doing, and because I do my holy hour every day, I get everything done I need to do. And people sit there and they say, oh, I don't have time to pray. Oh, please, you, and you absolutely have. You better sit there. We just had this Monsignor Steve Rossetti. He just did our Emmaus there, and he talks about dealing with priests. And if he says, so, you, Father, do you pray every day? And some of them will say, oh, I don't have time. And he says, then you don't have time to be a priest, Father.
Whoa.
This is what it is to be. And it ain't just priesthood. It's a relation. This is being a Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, a Catholic, and you're not praying, I would submit to you, you're really not who you then you're called to be. Mm. God wants you to spend time with him every single day.
Absolutely. Phone lines are open for you, 1-800-585-9396. You have a question for Father Larry, something that's on your mind, you just want to want to chat with them about something, this is your opportunity. 1-800-585-9396. I've got a letter here from Sheila in Central New Jersey, and she is a fan, Father Larry. She says,
that poor woman.
She says, I wanted to let you know you were the vehicle by which God performed a miracle the week that you spoke at our parish. Apparently, this was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago. Okay. She says, no one else could get my husband into church 4 days in 1 week. That is a miracle. She says, in your passion talk, which, by the way, was the best passion narrative ever, better than a Broadway play, better than the movie The Passion of the Christ, anyhow, where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You interpreted that as meaning the God of the universe turned his head away. Mm-hmm. I've also heard this referred to as Christ entering into limbo, if you will, where all the good people who have died over the ages awaited the opening of the doors to heaven. Mm-hmm. I have also heard this meant that Christ entered into hell, in quotes, probably meaning a purgatory-type mode of purification. So with all of these interpretations, is there one specifically that the Catholic Church teaches in the Catechism?
Of course not. It's one of those things that it's been debated for centuries what exactly Jesus meant. The most traditional one is that Jesus was quoting the Psalm 22. 22, I think it's 22. Mm. And he's quoting that psalm, which starts off, my God, why have you forsaken me? Mm-hmm. But it ends up with great trust and that you will bless me and take care of me. Yes. So that even though he was crying out, he was also making the great act of faith. When I do the passion talk, I talk about that when he who knew no sin became sin, God the Father could not look at sin, and so he turned his face. And that was part of the reason why Jesus would cry out, why have you forsaken me? But it's again, there has been debated. It's not defined. It's a lot of things in the church, they leave it open because it's hard to define the mind of God. What was in Jesus' mind when he was on the cross? You know, we don't know. And anyone says they do know, that's not real because the church hasn't done it. So we use, you know, so throughout the years in my daily reflection on the Passion, that's where I've brought it from. But again, there's many interpretations. And I often say when I'm doing the Passion talk, but this is the way that I have looked at it,
sure.
And it comes into that. But again, there is no one thing. It is open to there, and it's been debated many years what that means.
Speaking of open, this is Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. We have one line open. Everybody else is getting screened right now by our buddy Matt. 1-800-585-9396. Damon likes to check us out on Facebook Live. He says, my wife's, unfortunately, he says, has the word Catholic in quotes, my wife's Catholic family and friends never go to Mass or confession or receive communion. Am I guilty of the sin of omission and am risking my salvation by not saying anything to them? What do you think, Father?
First of all, I don't think that, you know, when people sit there and think, okay, my job is to go around telling people how to live their life, that's not that's just not the way it is.
No.
Our job is to witness to the power of Christ in our life and the presence of Christ in our life. And so, again, we're all looking for the same thing, how to bring people home to the faith, how to get them to practice their faith. And there's two ways to do it. One way is to scare the hell out of them, literally, But that, that usually doesn't work from a family member. It can happen from, like, if I'm preaching a mission or something, I literally scare the hell out of some people, you know, on purpose, because that's the way they need to hear it. But if a family member does that, they'll usually turn off that family member and the church for most of their life. So I would say, especially when it comes to family, the first thing to do is you pray for these people. And I mean really pray. So you have a prayer list, and you start writing the names of these people in your family you're praying for. And every day you put your hand over that list and you start praying for them individually. And again, what you do when you do that, it becomes like you become the spiritual magnifying glass. Like, for instance, around the whole world, there's rays of sun. You take a magnifying glass and you put it over something, the rays of the sun get focused and sets things on fire. When you pray for somebody, you become the spiritual magnifying glass, and the grace of God, which is everywhere, gets focused through you and starts working on their souls and sets them on fire by the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing you do is you love them. You know, what Jesus did is he loved people into the faith. You know, now the Pharisees, he yelled them into the faith. Whether they got in, a lot of them, you know, maybe not, because they were, he was trying to get their attention, but they thought they were going to work their way and just be good people, and it's much more than that. And so he would get hard on them. But the people that were sinning, he would love them first. And he'd always speak truth. You can never separate truth from love, but you need to speak, and they need to know that you love them. You love them. And then what I encourage people is to have an active daily prayer of the Holy Spirit, and you ask the Spirit to move you to witness to them. And then God will give you the opportunity to share your faith with them, and that's the best way to do it.
Beautiful. Damon, thank you so much, and thanks for being concerned about your family. I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
When we come back, we'll talk with Marion in Ontario, also Mary in North Dakota, Jan in Mendon, Michigan, and lots more right here on EWTN's Open Line Thursday.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her, and I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no. Never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Catholic Radio gives us an opportunity to become part of a larger family. It can be so lonely when we are struggling in our faith or just try to live our faith on our own. But Catholic Radio connects us to that larger community of faith where we're able to get the support, the encouragement, and the grace that we need to not just struggle on, but to really celebrate all the blessings that God brings into our life through our Catholic faith.
Dr. Greg Popcheck thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, call 1-800-585-9396. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Back to the phones now for Marion in Ontario, Canada, listening to EWTN there. Hey, Marion, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Marion.
Hi, Father Ari Richards. I've heard you live so many times, But I just have a question. This is
sure.
In my mind for a long time.
Okay.
Whether I can write to the Holy Father, the Pope,
uh-huh.
and ask him whether every priest in every all over the world, in every church, whether they can at least speak two or three lines about the Holy Eucharist, Jesus truly present in the Eucharist, because that's not being done. I mean, sometimes I feel very sad because I feel that people come and go without even knowing Jesus in the Eucharist.
Well, every homily is supposed to lead us. Sure, of course. But every homily is supposed to lead people to the Eucharist. I mean, that's part of the homily, you know. And so whether they do it, you know, sometimes you can become a broken record and say it all the time. But again, everybody throughout the world has their own version about the way things should work. Huh? Now, you can write to the Holy Father. People do it forever, but he probably won't ever get the letter. You know, one of the cardinals or one of his secretaries would have to get the letter. You know, but again, I think in the Holy Father's mind, he often talks about the Eucharist and the power of the Eucharist and the need for the Eucharist. And again, I think that the best way to get more and more priests to do it is if they have their own devotion to the Eucharist, where they do a holy hour and different things. So my biggest thing for you would be, if you want, writing a letter would be good, but praying and fasting would be better.
You better believe it.
You know, you
Marion,
start.
Yep. Sounds good. Marion, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Tanya in Des Moines, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. Tanya, what's your question today?
Hello, Tanya.
Hello.
What's up?
A question and a little bit of a comment, and just maybe some direction on this.
Okay.
I have received communion after having missed Mass.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, am I really still receiving Jesus?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, if you receive unworthily, that's why St. Paul says, that's why so many of you are sick and so many of you are dying or have died, because you receive communion unworthily. To miss Mass on Sunday is a mortal sin. So objectively, if you were to drop dead after missing Mass on purpose, you would go right to hell, because you have separated yourself from Christ, and you're saying that your time is more important than his time. So you'll go when you want to go and not go when you don't want to go. So it breaks the commandment, keep holy the Sabbath, and so you tell God, I'll do it when I want to do it, which makes you the Lord of your life. Now, if you're sick, then of course that's not mortally sinful. To commit a mortal sin, you need serious matter, full knowledge, and full consent of the will. So if all three of those things are present, and you decide that I don't really care, I missed Mass and I'm going to go to communion, I've never said no to anyone for communion. You'll receive the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, but then the bread of life can become the bread of death, according to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11.
There you go. Tanya, thank you so much for your call. This is Open Line Thursday here with Father Larry Richards on EWTN. We go now to Jan in Mendon, Michigan. Hey, Jan, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Jan.
Yes.
Hi, go
what's
right
up?
Ahead.
My question is, I know especially during Easter season and that, everything is about baptism and confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like everyone talks about that and no one says anything about communion. And to me, that's the whole heart of our religion. And I wonder, is there something new coming on that they just kind of ignore it, or...
Boy, you sound like you were just talking to Marion.
I know.
Yes. And again, though, the reality is the Eucharist is the core of our faith. The Eucharist is, you know, the Vatican says, Vatican II says, it is the source and the summit of everything. That means it's where everything comes from and where everything's going, because the Eucharist is Jesus. Now, of course, when we were taught in school and in seminary about preaching, it says all things should lead us to the Eucharist. So all homilies should lead you to the Eucharist. Now, it doesn't mean you explicitly have to talk about the Eucharist every week, but it should always be leading us into this intimacy with Jesus in the Eucharist. Now, again, I think that we do need, and I talk about it a lot because we have perpetual adoration here, but it's just, and that we just had Corpus Christi, of course, last week. Where, did they talk about Corpus Christi in your parish last week, or the Eucharist last week, did they, Jan?
I don't remember that they did.
Oh, because it's kind of hard not to talk about it on Corpus Christi.
Yeah.
But anyway, so sometimes they, you know, and again, if I ask my own people, what did I talk about last week? They'd say, I don't know. Did you give a homily, Father? Shut up. Anyway, but sometimes we just are in la-la land and we don't hear it sometimes. But they should be. All priests should always be talking about the Eucharist, of
Absolutely.
Course.
Absolutely. Jan, thank you so much for your call. Our phone number, 1-800-585-9396. Father, we got a text from John in Boise.
Boise.
He says, I often hear Catholics refer to, quote, living the gospel. I'm curious as to how that's possible. The gospel refers to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is a historic event. How does one live a past event?
Well, it isn't a past event. That's the point. It's the resurrected Jesus in our lives. It's called the Paschal Mystery. And so when we're invited to anything, we're invited to live the Paschal Mystery. So that means Jesus who lives inside of us, we too, remember, my favorite verse of the Bible is Galatians 2:19 and 20, which will be on my gravestone when I die at 120 because I could die young. And it sits there and says, I have been crucified with Christ. The life I live now is no longer my own. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. I still live my human life, yes, but it's a life of faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So in our own life, we too have to be crucified and die with Jesus. We too need to rise with Jesus, and that happens at baptism, but it rise with Jesus every time we go to confession, every time we receive Eucharist. We rise with Jesus so we can live with him forever. So when we live the gospel, we're letting Jesus Christ live his life through us. Too many people think what it is to be a follower of Jesus, to follow a set of rules. It is not only, in no way, shape, or form, only setting a following a set of rules. Being a Christian means that Jesus Christ lives inside of you. You no longer live. Jesus lives inside of you, and you let Jesus live his life through you. Much different than just following a bunch of rules and trying to be a good person. Absolutely. You can be a Buddhist and do that. Yeah. So a Christian is a different, total different reality. And so that's what we talk about. Living the gospel means that you no longer live. Jesus lives his life through you, and whoa, the power of that reality.
John, thank you for your text. That was awesome. And this is Call to Communion here on EWTN. Back to the phones here for Michael in, is it Bossier City, Louisiana? Is that how you pronounce it, Michael?
Bossier City, Louisiana.
Very there good. Go. Very good. What's your question today?
I've got a question. Father Larry, I belong to Dismas, and we're in a prison ministry, and we go to David Wade. And we're doing Be a Man right now. We're on chapter 6. We're doing the DVD series as well.
Okay, holy cow.
After we finish that, what book would you recommend that we go to? I'm reading Surrender right now. Yes, sir. I'm reading it myself. But then I was looking at the your other book, The Full Armor of God.
Nope. That's not my book. That's a book by Larry Richards, but if you notice, it's not Father Larry. Mine always say Father Larry. Larry Richards has been around many years. He's a Protestant minister. Yeah, that's a Protestant book. No. The one I would encourage if you wanted to stay with my stuff would be Surrender, and that would be how to surrender your life to Jesus, how to pray, and we go through all that about how to pray and that kind of stuff. And I think that's so important. Okay?
And we're changing lives with your book.
God is changing lives.
It's an awesome book.
Thank you.
We do it with our Acts retreat. I belong to Acts, and every men's retreat that I go to and become a part of your book. Be a Man is one of the gifts that they get, and everybody that's read it have nothing but raves. I would recommend that to any man out there and young man.
Well, thank you. I'll send you the check in the mail. There, thanks for calling, Michael.
Nothing like a little bit of good payola on Catholic Radio. That's what we're here for.
Thank you, Michael.
Guys, and David Wade, I appreciate it.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
You know, we could also spread the love here a little bit, Father, because I know that is available from your website, The Reason for Our Hope. Reasonforourhope.org. It's also available from us, isn't it?
Absolutely, at EWTN catalog.
Yes,
indeed. Right there, absolutely.
We will segue into, just to let you know about EWTN Religious Catalog, this is your online destination for all things Catholic. And we're talking about Catholic books, great books like those from Father Larry, also DVDs, rosary, devotionals, much more. This was set up by our own dear founder's mother, Angelica, many, many years ago. About 20 years ago, Father, and her attitude was, it's good to have holy reminders around you, to have that that little holy water font by the front door, so that you can bless yourself when you come and you go. You can have that beautiful picture in your living room or in your bedroom, and you know, things like books and rosaries. These are so, so important, and each and every purchase directly benefits and supports EWTN's mission to spread the good news all over the world. So if you're ready to shop, get over there right now, EWTNRC.com, EWTNRC.com, and they've got new items each and every day. Let's get back to the phones and talk with Mary in North Dakota, listening to us on Real Presence Radio. Hey, Mary, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Mary.
Hi.
What's up?
Well... Just a little confusion for me.
Okay.
When my husband and I got married, my husband had never been baptized. He was one of the youngest ones from a very large family. Mm-hmm. And when the children were older enough to go to do chores, his father would keep them home from church. Mm. So by the time my husband came along, of course, his mom got tired of getting the kids baptized and nothing getting done further for religious education. Mm-hmm. So he never got baptized.
Okay.
Well, my priest, when my husband and I were doing all the stuff to get married, my priest told me that there was no way we could get married in church.
I was not told
that we could get a...
How long ago was that?
20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't happen today, but it might have happened 20 years ago. But anyway,
well,
go ahead.
We've been almost married 10 years when my priest, when I moved, and of course I was attending Mass at the parish where I was residing then.
Mm-hmm.
The priest noticed that I was not coming to confession and wasn't coming to communion.
Sure.
And he asked me why. Mm-hmm. And after Mass one time, and I told him, and he said, oh, for heaven's sakes, that's very wrong. And so then we started and did all the steps to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And he waited till the day of the ceremony, when I was going to confession then before the service.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said that I had to confess, too, that I'd been living in sin all this time. And I got exceedingly upset and frustrated because I tried to do everything the proper way. So why is it that I'm the one who sinned when I was the one who was lied to?
Yes. And again, it wasn't the lied to. I mean, a lot of priests believe that, you know, that you had to marry other Catholics. That was the biggest thing. And in fact, the teaching of the church is still Catholics marry Catholics. That's why you need a dispensation. But whoever that priest was, you know, God have mercy on him, that he would say that to you. But because you just went and got married outside the church, you know, and not went to another priest, and it wasn't a blessed marriage. So, you know, again, I wouldn't take that so personally, because the priest was just trying to help you. You to sit there and say, okay, just say you were married outside church, because you were, and then we go on, but now everything's right? You're baptized, I mean, you brought into the church, and you went to confession, and everything's working, right?
Right.
Yeah. And again, I would sit there and say that same thing, that in reality, it wasn't your sin because you didn't know any better. You tried to do what was right, and the priest didn't help you. You know, and so, but still, like if you'd have went right down the road to another place, I don't know where you live, if there was other churches around, but often that would be the thing. Or if you'd have called the bishop's office, they would have sat there and did it. But again, at your age and what was going on, you just didn't know any better. But, you know, yeah, and the priest was just trying, like this last priest was just trying to really help you. That's all, you know. But again, you're right, and we failed you in that regard. And that other priest should be going to confession who told you that. So.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, thank you so much for your call. Glad we could clear that up for you. This is not called a communion.
This is Open Line Thursday.
Thank you so much. Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards. The one and only. Let's go now to Mark in Owensboro, Kentucky. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Owensboro. Hi, Mark. I love Owensboro. You have a nice little town there.
Well, thank you very much. I saw you when you were here at our men's conference.
Oh, absolutely.
Men's conference back in February.
Yeah, me and Cardinal Dolan. It was a great, great time. There's no easy way to get there, though, to Owensboro, Kentucky.
Yeah, it is. We are kind of in the armpit of the nation. I wanted to tell you,
you
challenged us to tell our dads that we love them.
Yep.
And I called back about a month or so later and told you I was having trouble doing that because of some problems. My dad was an abusive alcoholic when I was little, and my mom divorced him, and so we it took us a while to reconcile, I guess.
Sure, sure.
But anyway, I just wanted to give you an update. I was eyewitness to him all the time, and he gets tired of hearing me, but that doesn't make me stop.
Sure.
And I was talking to him the other day, and he said, "Why do you go on with all of this stuff?" And I told him, just before I even thought about it, the words came out of my mouth. I said, "Because I love you, and I don't want you to go to hell."
There you go. That's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if I might have been a little bit too direct. But anyway,
that's okay. No. And well, how did he respond to that?
Well, it kind of stunned him. You could tell.
Sure.
Just kind of stunned him, you know. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you for telling me, Mark. God bless you, and God bless your father, too, and your whole family.
God bless you, too, Father.
Thanks for calling us.
Mark,
bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our phone number here, 1-800-585-9396. As the man says, it is Open Line Thursday here on EWTN. Let's go to Michael now in St. Louis, listening to us on Covenant Radio. Michael, what's on your mind today?
Hello, hi, Michael.
Hi, Father Larry. How are you?
I'm blessed. What's going on in St. Louis? I've been there many times. I love it out there.
Yeah, it's great. My wife called me about an hour ago. She has a work event this evening, and her company is expecting her to wear a gay pride pin with the company's logo on it. She called me, asked me what I thought she should do, and I had no idea. So
I would
give you a call.
I wouldn't wear it, and I would sit there and say, "Oh, I forgot it," or "Oh." And if she really bothers her, then if she could, you know, be sick tonight, you know, like, "Oh, I'm really sick. I got a headache," you know, and do stuff like that. Because again, nobody should ever force anybody to do something against their conscience. And again, if they make her do something against her conscience, she could really take them to court because they're trying to force her to do something that's against what she believes. And just like a Muslim could take someone to court if you make someone do something like that and say, "Listen, what you're doing is going against my religious liberty," that would be the same thing. But I wouldn't make that the issue. I would just sit there and, you know, just say, "Oh, I forgot it," or different things, or, you know, "I'm sick," and not go enough to deal with it at all.
Yeah, she thought that that would probably be the best option, but you know, she said there's going to be a lot of for lack of better terms, liberal people there who will question her. And you know, it's kind of a black mark these days if you don't go
absolutely
along with groupthink. So,
and that's exactly what today's feast is about, not going along with, because John Fisher and Thomas More both died because they didn't go along with. But, you know, again, there's consequences for that. So if she stands up and says, "I don't believe this and I won't do it," well, there will be a consequence for that. And if she's willing to do that, then God bless her. But that's why, you know, she has to really say, go to God and say, "God, I'll do anything you want. You tell me what to do tonight." And then do whatever he tells you.
Beautiful. Michael, thank you so much for your call. Let's stay in St. Louis and talk with Orson. Orson, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Orson.
Oh, thank you, Father Larry. I'm also from St. Louis.
I see. Good job. I love St. Louis down there. What is that?
Wonderful cathedral basilica here.
It's the most beautiful one in the country.
Fantastic.
I always say hands down. Absolutely.
Thank you. What I'm calling about, I have non-Catholic friends who don't believe in purgatory or limbo.
Sure.
And how would I explain that to them so that they say they can't find it in the Bible anywhere?
Sure. Well, first of all, there's a big difference between purgatory and limbo. Limbo's always been a theological opinion. You can believe in limbo or not. And again, people go back and forth on that, but I'm telling you, that's the thing. Purgatory, you must believe in as a Catholic. And what you must believe about purgatory is that, one, it exists, and two, it's a good and holy thing to pray for the dead. Now, where that comes from is the book of Maccabees. Now, the problem is Protestants don't have that book, and it's more places than that, but it's in the book of Maccabees, and it says, you know, after these, they were in war, and they weren't supposed to take something from the other side, and they did, and when they found all these dead people there, they found all these amulets, and so what they did was they took a collection, and they offered sacrifice, and then it says they offered sacrifice with the focus on the resurrection, and this is even before Jesus was born, and that it's a good and holy thing to pray for the dead. So So that's the proof text, if you will. But the problem is Protestants don't have that in their scripture. You know, so that's why you have to go to others. I would encourage you to either go to EWTN.com or Catholic.com at Catholic Answers and just put purgatory in there, and you're going to find a lot of the scriptures that will support you in that, and it'll help you with that, okay? But the best way to, for me, and the way I've explained it throughout the years, is when a person dies, and he's or redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, what did Jesus did for us. But if I go and I sin, and I get covered with this sin, and so God, who is love, when a person dies, and I'm in the state of grace, but I still have this selfishness and residue of sin in me, when he starts to draw me close to himself, or draw the soul close to himself, his love burns away our selfishness. And the more selfishness and sin we've had in our life, the longer that process takes. But it's a loving embrace of the Father of love. And it's purgatory is the embrace of the love of the Father. But if you want to find it in the scripture and do much more than I can explain in three sentences, I would go to EWTN or Catholic.com.
Orson, thank you so much for your call. Let's go from St. Louis, go west on I-70 to Kansas City and talk with Kelsey. Hey, Kelsey, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Kelsey.
Hi, Father Larry. My it's more of a something I'd like you to comment on.
Sure.
That I've been thinking about. A lot of people my age, under 40 category, I hear them say that I went to this church or to that church, all Catholic churches or this parish, and mm-hmm. I didn't like what this priest told me or that priest told me.
Sure.
So I quit going to church altogether. And I always say to them, well, if that priest was incorrect, you know, then you should maybe talk to them about that again, or you can always go to another parish. But why do we tend to just completely quit altogether? I say to them, you know, we're going to church for God. We're going to church to, you know, we're in the Catholic Church. If one parish doesn't fit your needs, then, you know, you can try a parish down the road. And, you know, Kansas City is a huge city, so there's dozens and dozens of parishes. But I hear you know, it's almost like an—I don't want to say an excuse to quit, but it's just—it's
exactly that's what it is, and it's an excuse to quit. And we're always looking for excuses to do things our way. I used to call it the Burger King theology: have it your way. And secularism has entered so much in the church, and not in the church proper, but in the people of the church, that they use this as a consumerism. I will do what I want for the person who's going to take care of me and my need. Instead of we go to church for God and to give back to Almighty God. Now, there are some priests I don't agree with. There are people that are priests that listen to me on the radio that hate me and think, oh, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's why there's many of us, and that's why you can go to different places, but we always got to do what we do for God. And so often, many people don't even know Jesus, and so they go to a church and they're looking, you know, they're picking and choosing what I'm doing, and I don't like that priest. It gives me an excuse not to follow the faith. It's just my excuse.
Yeah.
So, right, so, but you're right.
Kelsey, thank you so much for your call. Teresa on I-95 traveling across Georgia. Hey, Teresa, what's on your mind today?
Hello,
Hi,
Teresa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Blessed. What can we help you with?
I was just, earlier you were talking about, somebody called in about your talk on the Passion.
Sure.
And you were saying about the take of, you know, Father.
He who knew no sin.
Me.
Sure.
Oh, no, the why have you abandoned
me? Okay, okay.
And I was just thinking, is it possible, I mean, I know Jesus is God.
Sure.
Then in that one instantaneous that he became so human, like because he took on our sins and became sin, and we who are not divine or just simply human, we would absolutely say, what are you doing to me?
Sure.
Why would you do this? Is that possible?
Yes, but the thing of it is he, it wasn't just for a moment. He was completely 100% human and completely 100% divine at the same time. We call it the hypostatic union. And so that's why Jesus, like if you go to the Passion, he was afraid, you know, and he said, Father, not my will be yours be done. But he also said, Father, let this cup pass me by. And that's in his humanity that he knew what was going to happen to him. So he struggled with that. And that's often why I talk about it's okay to struggle with the will of God. Jesus did in his humanity, but he wasn't in and out of humanity. He was always human and always divine at the same time.
Teresa, thank you so much for your call. I am so sorry we could not get to Dora in Irving, Texas, or Marilyn in Dayton, Ohio. But Father Larry, we jammed through an awful lot of calls today. Thank you so much. Could we close out with your blessing, please?
Absolutely. Holy Father, we ask you to bless everyone who's listening to us now. Give them peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Larry Richards, always a pleasure doing business with you. Hope to see you next time you're in town, Padre.
God willing.
That'd be awesome. Don't forget, at this time tomorrow, it's going to be our very own Vice President for Theology, Colin Donovan, answering your questions on matters theological. Coming up next on many of these stations, it'll be two full hours of Cresta in the Afternoon, followed by Catholic Answers Live and the world over with Raymond Arroyo. I'm Tom Price. We'll see you next time. You have a wonderful evening. God bless.